You are listening to Zed Games, and why were we listening to that?
Well, if you saw the Meet the Pyro video for Team Fortress 2, that was featured in that video, and very humorous use of that song.
I see. Okay. Good. Good start. Zed Games, this is the show you're listening to right now. Why, it's Australia's premier video game-related radio program. And joining me in the studio, as ever, my good friend Mr. Razor.
Hey.
Mr. Jody McGregor.
Hey.
Ms. Candy Payne.
Hi, kids.
And I'm Lee. And what are we talking about tonight, people?
Mass Effect 3 Citadel. Jody's been playing the latest expansion for Mass Effect.
Yes, I have.
And Lee's been playing SimCity.
That I have.
We talked about the launch woes last week, but we'll give you our 100% accurate and final review tonight, right, Lee?
Yes. Why not? I was not informed of this.
Yep. But first, I think Jody's going to go through the week in news.
Sure. The Oculus Rift, a crowdfunded virtual reality headset, will be officially supported by Valve's Team Fortress 2. That's why you played that song. It all fits together. Nice segue. VR mode is expected to be added to the game sometime over the next few weeks, which is when people who backed the headset on Kickstarter will be receiving their devices. The version of the headset is a developer kit model. A consumer VR headset has yet to be announced. This follows news that Doom 3 BFG Edition will not be an officially supported launch title for the Oculus Rift,
but
which was previously announced.
Weren't they plugging the hell out of that?
Yeah, that was part of the crowdfunding sort of promise. Who knows what happened there? Apparently Hawken will still have it when that comes out, but not Doom 3.
Does anything else have any support for it?
Not yet.
Okay.
But there are other developers who are working with them on it. They haven't announced what games, though.
Right. Are you excited about getting a VR headset, Jody?
Yeah, I am. I watched that video for the Oculus Rift, and, I mean, it's more goggles than headset, which makes it look less silly and actually makes it look like something that would really work.
Right.
Rather than actually having, like, a monitor clonked onto your head, which I've always thought looked a bit cumbersome. Like, I get a headache from wearing headphones. I don't want to have to actually wear a computer on my head.
Yeah, so the screens are really close to your eyes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that sort of, you know, dangerous? You come up with square eyes, like in those old propaganda anti-TV things?
That is exactly what happens. You know, it was radio stations that released those, right?
Was it?
They were afraid of the new technology.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of afraid of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, VR headsets. I don't know. I can't imagine myself, like, running around as the scout using a VR headset. I think that's a bit slow, you know?
Mm. But you can't see anyway. This would be of no benefit to you.
Well, you need some twitch reflexes and stuff like that.
Well, it is interesting that they picked Team Fortress 2 to go with. One of the big problems with VR headsets is the lag and latency, and so fast-paced online first-person shooter is something where you really need it. So this is actually going to be a good test of how well that works.
Right.
So I think that's a canny move if it actually pulls it off. EA has announced that SimCity players who register their game before the 25th of March will receive a free game. The free game will act as a token of apology for SimCity's problematic launch, which received a large amount of negative press. Users will be able to choose their free game from a list that includes Battlefield 3, Dead Space 3, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Mass Effect 3, Plants vs. Zombies, Bejeweled 2, and SimCity 4. So there's at least one game you'll like on there. Plants vs. Zombies. Five artists from Pixar Animation Studios have formed their own games development company called Steel Wool Games. The artists, who have worked on films like Brave, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, and The Incredibles, have not left Pixar but will continue to work at the studio while developing games at night. Their first title, Fly Hunter, is scheduled for release midway through this year.
Well, they're never going to sleep again.
No.
Yeah.
Do we know anything else about that game except for the name and who's making it?
There's been like a couple of screenshots released, but we don't know much. But we're expecting big things.
Obviously, our hopes are up. An 8-year-old in England has racked up a £980 bill, which is $1,500 Australian dollars, buying virtual donuts in the iPad game The Simpsons Tapped Out. The parents of the child admitted that they do not monitor the usage of the device, but are reportedly furious that this was allowed to happen. Apple has refunded the money after reviewing the case and has urged all parents to utilize the various parental controls that are available on the device before allowing children to use them to buy imaginary donuts.
Really?
Actually, the Simpsons Tapped Out also recently added scratch lotto tickets in-game, which you buy using... You buy real-world money to buy this, and I'm trying to work out how this actually managed to get passed the ratings board or if they just like snuck it through as a patch, which they did.
Because that's gambling.
Yes, it is. It is gambling. And we have really strict laws about how you can't do that in most places, and particularly in your Simpsons video game, which is marketed to children.
So. I'm so sorry I didn't read. We were talking about this before Jody read it, and I actually didn't even realise that it was donuts.
Yep. It does make it funnier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is funny, yes.
But was he hungry?
You know, I don't
Homer
know.
Homer was hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are thinking about this story, but my thoughts are, man, they shouldn't have refunded the money.
Yeah,
that's a totally. Lesson that those parents needed to learn the hard way.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm sorry that, you know, they from now on they're going to think that if they make a mistake, that Apple are going to refund their money.
They should have made that kid eat every donut.
But, yeah, I mean, there are parental controls on the iPad. You know that if you give the password to your son or daughter and with your credit card account number stored, there is the possibility that this could happen. Mm. And they admitted that they don't. You know, they don't monitor the stuff that their child plays.
So. Here's a thought. Maybe just don't give an iPad device to an 8-year-old just yet. Let them play something where you can't have in-app purchases and stuff. It's just.
What are you going to do with your 8-year-old kid if you can't put him in front of a tiny screen that entertains him for hours?
Give him a book.
What are you going to do? Teach your child things?
Right.
I have shows to watch.
I don't know. I was just really disappointed that they gave in. I don't care what people argued about it. I don't think they should have given in and refunded.
Yeah.
It's not fair to them. They're a big. I know they're a big company and everybody's always against the big companies and whatever, but, you know,
yeah.
They're going to do this for every idiot that doesn't put child locks on their iPad.
They could.
I'm against fat children that buy $1,000 worth of donuts.
I just can't believe how funny that was.
All right, and for our next news segment entitled Candy's Quickies, Candy will go very quickly over some shorter news stories.
Very quickly. Super Speed. Fez, the quirky perspective-based puzzle platformer, will arrive for PC via Steam on the 1st of May. The troubled development process of Fez was documented in indie game The Movie and was previously only available for Xbox Live Arcade. Electronic Arts CEO John Riccitiello will resign from his position on the 30th of March. An internal memo written by Riccitiello stated that EA had fallen short of the financial goals he'd set for the company and that he was accountable for this.
Godspeed, you black emperor.
What? Supergiant Games, the developers of Bastion, have announced a new title for 2014, which is Transistor. It will utilise a similar isometric perspective to Bastion, with the plot revolving around a powerful sword.
Always wanted to play a video game about a powerful sword.
Yeah, it's an untapped market.
Yeah.
I hope there's narration like in Bastion.
I hope there's really good music like in Bastion. Mm.
I hope there's really good art, like in Bastion.
I feel like you should all put these suggestions together and just email them through.
Or you just all go play nice Bastion again.
In more local news, GGF LAN, Good Gaming Fun, is happening on the 30th of March. The main attraction is a StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm competition. There will also be Minecraft, Chivalry and Trackmania, and a door prize worth $600. For more information, go to events.ggfland.com. Got some more exciting news about our show on Fridays, by the way.
So Zed Games is rebroadcast every Friday night on Zed Digital. It's moved in time slot. It is now 6 till 7 p.m. each Friday night, an hour earlier than it was previously.
Which, if you only listen on the digital program, you won't know because you'll be listening to it far too late.
That's right.
And trying to listen to this news article.
What will
which
I
is
be
now
hearing
in your
instead?
Past.
I don't know.
Ah.
Something awesome, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so that's
hello
it.
Hello to the future.
That's it for the news. That's it for the news. When we return here on Zed Games, we'll be talking all about Mass Effect 3 Citadel. This song is called Froggy's Lament.
Welcome back to Zed Games. That was an awesome song. What was it? It had something to do with frogs.
That was Froggy's Lament.
I know what it is. I'm kidding. Sorry, Froggy's Lament. By whom?
By Bruckner and Garcia, best known for their one-hit wonder Pac-Man Fever in the 80s.
Thank you, Jody.
Yeah.
They had a whole album of that stuff. There's a song about, like, Donkey Kong, one about Centipede.
I had no idea.
Yeah, most of it's not very good.
Yeah, well, Pac-Man Fever is only amazing for a given definition of amazing,
yeah.
Which is my own.
I think Pac-Man Fever is quite amazing.
Let's play it right now. Screw the rest of this show. Who's up next? I believe Pac-Man Fever is.
All right, Jody, you've been playing a Mass Effect 3 Citadel.
Yes, I have. It's the final bit of downloadable content for Mass Effect 3.
Story-based?
Yes.
Yep, cool.
And it's the largest by far of all of the ones that have been released. If you get it on console, you need to download two separate chunks of it because the maximum amount is 2 gig, I think. And this is like well over 4 gig. Ah. So if you get it on console, be prepared for that. It takes place in the middle of the story, like all of the expansions for Mass Effect 3 have. There's a save game it makes before you go off on the final mission so that you can return to that and play all of the add-ons, which is what I've been doing. This one sends you to the Citadel, which is the huge city-sized space station that's been a recurring setting across all the games. But in Mass Effect 3, you only got to see sort of bits of it. You got to visit the docks and the hospital, but this actually sets you loose in a huge chunk of it, which is good because it's one of my favorite parts of the setting. Mm. So there's a storyline, a bunch of interlinked missions, which also bring back a lot of characters from the earlier games. So while your ship is being repaired and you're given shore leave on the Citadel, you get attacked by mysterious bad guys and have to bring back all of your old friends to help you fight them, which is good because the thing that I like the most about Mass Effect is its characters, and that's where this is the strongest. It brings back a ridiculous amount of characters just constantly in a super fanservice-y but awesome way. Even like Rex from the very first game, if he's still alive in your version of Mass Effect 3, he'll show up out of nowhere just to be awesome again. And it slowly adds more and more characters until there's this ridiculous thing where you've got like 8 or 9 guys running around with you in your squad.
So is this like the final episode of Seinfeld where they just bring back and sort of touch on everything that has been great about the series?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of running gags that are brought back one last time and a lot of callbacks and references because they've brought back every single voice actor as well. Mm. So having all of these characters back, you then get to hear them interact with each other. The threat that you're facing this time, I won't spoil it, but it's not super tough. The finale's a bit hard, but along the way, you mostly just mow through a bunch of guys who aren't as much of a challenge as the godlike Reapers you've been fighting in the rest of the game. So it's quite lighthearted compared to the rest of the game. And because there isn't a gigantic threat, there's a lot more banter and a lot more interaction between the characters who are constantly joking and catchphrasing in a way that's very fun.
Because a lot of it is set in an apartment that you get, right?
Well, there's an apartment that you get, yeah, and after the missions end, you then just get to chill and hang out there and explore this chunk of the Citadel, this strip, which is where soldiers get to go on shore leave. There's an arcade, an arena where you can fight in these virtual reality bouts that are sort of like the multiplayer missions, and there's a casino, and there's your apartment where you actually get to like buy furniture and the kind of things you do in a house in Skyrim or something. And you also get to throw a party. So while you defeat a bunch of bad guys and that feels like the climax, then there's this huge chunk of content where you just get to hang out with all of your squad mates on holiday in the Citadel and then throw a party. And the party is like an hour of just them talking to each other, which is my favorite part of these games. Normally, I just like wade through a bunch of fights so that I can then have a cutscene where I talk to everybody.
I can't review SimCity tonight because I'm going to go home so I can download Citadel.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
It's very silly and indulgent and fanish and awesome.
Mm. Yeah, I think at this point, you know, they kind of needed something like that. You know, with the way that they have been wanting to. There have been all those measures to try and, you know, make up for the fan outrage over the ending and the way that the series has been taken. It seems like this shouldn't have worked. You know, it should have been seen as being too indulgent, and yet, you know, from all of the reviews and, you know, from your own personal one, which we've all enjoyed, it does seem like this is the best gift to Mass Effect fans that BioWare could have given us.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like in some of the earlier expansions like Leviathan, it felt like they were trying to explain and set up the ending as a way of apologizing for it, whereas in this they've just concentrated on what's good about Mass Effect and ignored what's bad instead of trying to fix it and given you more of what you actually want in a Mass Effect game.
Hey.
It feels like an entire, you know, short, mm-hmm. but an entire game of its own, and one that's much more fun. Something I really enjoyed is that the soldiers on shore leave who you get to meet while you're hanging out on the Citadel complain about battles that they've been in. And I realized after a while they were complaining about the multiplayer missions that I'd been fighting in. Some of them start complaining about being put in squads with people they've never fought in before and how these randoms don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, that's exactly what I do.
They were talking about you in particular.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. They're complaining about me not knowing, you know, when to stand in cover and not, you know, stand at the top of a ramp and attract a bunch of fire.
So this is a must-have for the Mass Effect 3 fan?
Definitely. Yep. This is one of the best parts of Mass Effect 3 and easily the best of all the expansions for it. It's also the most significant feeling in the way that Mass Effect 2 had a lot of expansions and DLC, and there was one called Lair of the Shadow Broker that felt like they'd put all the effort into it, and it was the best. This is like the Lair of the Shadow Broker for Mass Effect 3.
Cool. Well, thanks, Joni. You're listening to Zed Games. When we return after this track, which is Sugar Rush from the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack, we'll be talking all about SimCity.
Welcome back, listeners. You are, of course, listening to Zed Games. And what song did we just listen to?
Sugar Rush by AKB48.
Yes.
From their Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack.
How cute was it?
Sugar Rush is...
I loved it. I was all boppy and stuff. Yeah. I wanted to dance a little.
Sugar Rush is actually what the movie was called in Japan. If you've seen the posters, they actually look a lot more like the movie. Like, the posters here were all, like, huge pictures of... you know, characters from Street Fighter 2 and Wreck-It Ralph sort of hidden away in the corner. Whereas in Japan, the poster is the other way around. It actually looks like the movie with, you know, some dude from Halo tucked away in the corner.
Oh, cool.
That is interesting how things like movies and games are marketed differently to the West and in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a topic for another day, though. Today we'll be talking about SimCity.
Yes, we are talking about SimCity. If you have been anywhere...
You sounded so excited just then to launch into it. We're all singing and you're like, yeah, SimCity, no big deal. We'll mention it.
Look, it's a tough one. You know, you got to let me get into this.
There is a lot to say about this.
Yeah, if you've been on the internet any time recently, you know, you may have heard that there was some controversy surrounding the launch of this game, which I'll get to. But for now, SimCity is, it's technically SimCity 5, but, you know, they're doing the modern remake thing of just SimCity.
Like Rocky.
Like Rocky.
Or Rambo.
Yeah, but they weren't called. Anyway, yes. not quite like that, actually. But, yes, SimCity.
More like Fast and Furious.
Yes. Wasn't that just called... okay. Doesn't matter. SimCity. You have probably heard of this. It is a now decades-old city management simulation game, first appearing in, God, it was the 80s.
89.
And, you know, even back then, it was, you know, the kind of the perfect simulation game. It was such a solid sim that testers reported that the simulation itself could crash, but the game would keep running. Like, that's how well that they had sort of built this thing. And, you know, SimCity has gone from strength to strength to lesser strength to not as strong to wherever we are now. Which brings me to this review. SimCity. A thing. So this one, you know, is not going to look, you know, shockingly different if you've ever seen a city simulation game before. Isometric view of your city, which you as the mayor get to control. And because you're the mayor of a city, you're in charge of the government, so you get to determine where roads go and where zones go and where the civic buildings go, but you don't determine, you know, what the buildings within that end up looking like, what the commercial, you know, or the residential buildings look like. All of that stuff, your Sims populate that yourself. So the idea is to, you know, make a great town and, you know, the people will flock to it, they'll respond. Make a shitty town and you'll get a dump. That's the gist of it.
You just make a dump.
Yeah, you could just make a dump. Yes. So this SimCity has a number of really cute features built into it. It's you know, it looks phenomenal. They've got a new engine, the Glass Box engine, which has a really excellent graphical feature that I enjoy, which is that when you zoom in a certain way, the whole thing starts to look like a tilt-shift video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Who's going to be the best at describing tilt-shift to our radio listeners who have no idea what these words mean?
Tilt-shift? Yeah, it's... Go buy an app. You can buy a lot of apps that help you cheat with your photos when you're doing this. But basically, it's kind of like if you had, say you had a bird's eye view of the city, tilt shift is kind of, everything almost looks a little miniature, and it's like you can, I'm trying to use words for people that don't understand photography, it's as almost as though you've kind of zoomed in clearly on one area and everything else around is slightly blurred.
Yeah.
And it creates this, it's kind of unrealistic looking moment in time that you've just kind of captured where you've focused on one thing. And yeah, I quite like it, but it creates interesting perspectives of large cities when it's used in that sort of
environment.
It creates
the illusion that you're looking at something that is in miniature. So
yes.
Like a model train set. Yeah, it makes real places look like model train sets.
Yeah.
Miniature things, yeah.
Exactly. Traditionally, it comes from using an angled lens, but it's really easy to do in Photoshop just by blurring the top edges, and bottom of your screen. That's what's happening here.
But that's not as cool.
That's what's happening here, and what's great about it is that you are already looking at something in miniature because the detail only goes so far. But it works really, really well. This is a gorgeous game. It has a very clean interface. Everything seems to work exactly as you would want it to initially. Most of the game revolves around the placement of roads. Roads in this game channel everything. The roads determine what kind of buildings or the density of the buildings. They determine where electricity goes, where the water channels go. Roads are super, super important. It's a city building game. But the emphasis on the roads has also created a bit of a weakness because this is where the simulation starts to fall down. At the moment, the AI of anything that runs on those roads is appalling. You will just get massive traffic jams, even though you have built a very excellent and clever system of alternate routes around the place. You will just find all of your emergency vehicles lined up one after the other along what is the most direct route to a fire, and everything will burn down while your guys are just there, even though off ramps, multiple avenues, all kinds of means of getting where you want to go. The AI at the moment is a bit ridiculous, but Candy was just mentioning that they've patched it, apparently.
Yeah, I actually was just Googling. There's been some commenting online that there's a new update which focuses pretty much all of their updates towards traffic improvements. So there's tuned traffic congestion and intersection traffic issues are fixed up. Vehicles get to drive in empty lanes to get around traffic congestions. Emergency delivery vehicles get priority on roads, things like that. So looks like they've honed in on that and they were aware of it.
Yeah.
So
that does sound like an improvement. I haven't played it, but I have watched some hilarious YouTube videos of a bunch of cars stuck behind another car that's pulled up, even though there's another lane open beside them. There's just 14 cars stopped while somebody goes and watches a movie.
It's a significant disadvantage to the running of a city if everyone behind the wheel is an idiot, and that's also how all of your other systems, your sewerage somehow gets in traffic jams.
Just jumps in a car and nabs out.
Dude. Until then, I was going to say, it kind of sounds realistic. People panic when there's emergency vehicles around and everyone's like, oh my God, what do I do? I don't know. So I'll just sit here instead of trying to move away. But at least now, from this bug report, it looks like that might help with emergency vehicles get around traffic.
So assuming that has been fixed up dramatically, I think that will probably improve that element of the simulation. So, I mean, aesthetically, this is a really beautiful game. The soundtrack is wonderful as well. It's just a really enjoyable experience to sit down and play this game. And initially, if you were like me and you got lucky with the server side of things, which I'll get into, you might find yourself, sitting down at a very enjoyable, pleasant simulation game. But things do start to go off the rails, and we might get into that after a song.
Yep. This one is from Tumelo. It's a project he did called Chrono Jigger. Jody?
This is a mashup of songs by Jay-Z with songs from the Chrono Trigger soundtrack. This one's called Masamune Problems, and it should probably come with a language warning.
Yep, it does come with a very strong language warning.
Hello, and welcome back to Zed Games. We just heard Jay-Z being mashed up with the Chrono Trigger soundtrack from an album called Chrono Jigger, which is a funny name.
It is a funny name.
Lee, you've been playing SimCity.
That I have, yes. I just discussed the basic structure of the game before, but now to get into the real meat here, which is that everyone is angry about this game. Everyone. And it is causing this upset in the world because it's an always online single-player game, which, you know, you may recall Diablo 3. They decided that would be the case for that.
Wasn't happy about that.
No, Razor's still angry.
Very angry.
He crossed out his tattoo of Diablo.
Yes.
Yeah. With a knife. He was very angry.
bad week.
Now, SimCity is traditionally a single-player game. It's for people who want to sit down and finally tune their city over the course of the rest of their life. I don't think any single one of them ever said, you know what would be great is if I could play this and my city was right beside my friend's city. You know, that's an interesting idea. Yes, it is. But it's not the sort of thing that you really necessarily want to inflict upon the entire user base in such a detrimental way. So they said that the reason that they were going to go online only for this was that a significant portion of the simulation was going to be off in the cloud, that their supercomputers, the EA supercomputers, would be there working out what all of your, you know, the individual members of your 100,000 strong cities are all doing. And that's kind of a suspect statement. Let's assume that is the case.
You said 100,000 strong. How big's your city?
My city has never quite hit 100,000. My biggest was at 80,000.
Is 100,000 the cap?
100,000 is the cap, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite small by the standards of old SimCity.
Indeed it is, yes.
Brisbane's got a population of, what, 1 million?
Two.
2 million if you include, you know, the outer provinces.
Yeah.
They'd like to include themselves in Brisbane, yes.
Since I live there, yeah, I'd like to
include you live in Brisbane.
Sorry about that. So 100,000 is, that's a pretty small city. It's more like a village, isn't it?
That's a town.
This is a farming village.
Yeah, and that's a major issue. Because of the way that they've determined that they're going to simulate this game, having that cap there means that the cities and the maps themselves are much, much smaller than the previous games. The trade-off that they have in place is that you don't just play on a single city. You have a region now. So you have an area and then you have a number of cities linked together there. So maybe something that is a little closer to our Brisbane, where we have Brisbane and then we have these other offshoots where weird people like Jody live, you know, in Stickwich or wherever you are. Blackston County. Yeah.
There's a tear in the corner of his eye, man.
He's turned away.
He's not even looking at
him. Jody, come back. Come back, man. He's gone.
I dissed his hometown.
I'll have to fix that up later.
Yeah, he's going to go down to to Smunson's pig farm and throw rocks into the old creek. But
Jody's got nothing to say.
Jody's out of here. He's already gone.
Yes.
How about all the online multiplayer functionality, like the social side of things? How does that work for you?
Well, the social stuff is, I'm going to say, ridiculous, actually, because it's all asynchronous anyway. So you're never going to be online with your city there, your friend there, and, hey, you know, our simulations are hooking up, all of this stuff is working. What happens is that you can share a map with a friend, and then your data, once you're done, will be there ready to go. So basically the numbers from your city, like the number of ambulances you have, the number of, you know, slots you have left in your schools, all of that stuff is ready to go for the other city, and then they can, you know, buy the use of some of your resources or, you know, ship people to your town. So there's no real there's not a significant advantage here. The idea is nice and certainly something that they probably could have implemented in a much more full fashion, but what you're kind of left with is a single player game that maybe you can rub up against your friend's single player game, but that requires that you have to be online and their servers have to be up in order to play. And that's the major concern here, is that if a video game developer is telling you their customers that that they need to be online at all times in order to play this game, the least they can do is show the same courtesy and uphold their end and also be online at all times. And
so how has your experience been as far as getting onto the servers and playing the game?
Well, I got my copy of the game after the launch. Now, in the US, they had a terrible time of getting anyone on for most of a week. In Australia, apparently on launch day, there were a lot of concerns. The entire day, people were, you know, struggling to see anything beyond a sign telling them that the servers were down. But for me, I only ever had server issues twice. Once when it killed my the tutorial, and another time when I just couldn't get in for a couple of hours. So, you know, in that regard, it's been an okay situation for me. But I think that, you know, being able to be always online for a game of this type is entirely unnecessary. So they said that all of the simulation is something that, you know, the simulation is shared between your computer and their supercomputers. But it has been revealed since then that this is not actually the case. The only stuff that is being used on the server is all the social stuff, is the fact that you're potentially sharing your map with other human beings. But everything else, all of the simulation of your Sims, still happens on your machine. So it's frustrating that they chose to, you know, carry that line across, particularly because if this were a game where, you know, a row of supercomputers were actually simulating what my peeps were doing, that would be a much better game than the one that I've ended up with, because the major issue with this is that the simulation itself is broken at a certain point, and it's usually around like maybe 50, 60,000 people in your city. All of the numbers that they've got going on in the background start to break down. They say that this is a game where, this is the first sim where the individual sims, this is the first simulation SimCity game where the individual sims, there's a lot of sims in this review, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of sims.
Go back to calling
sentence.
Them peeps.
The peeps.
Start again, the peeps.
Your peeps are simulated individually. So, you know, in theory, that's a great idea. Then you've got a real city full of real individuals. They're all doing their thing. You are building a city for their specifications, but the way that they do this, it's been revealed that they are fudging a lot of these numbers. That the percentage of peeps that are actually simulated is a fraction of the overall population, which is a bit of a letdown, but, you know, fair enough if that's what they want to do, except that it does mean that eventually everyone starts acting crazy. You get this situation where people are just staying at their, you know, you have a massive population, people are staying home, they're losing their jobs, and then they're becoming poor and they're going to die just because the numbers can't handle the figures start to go all out of whack. So as a simulation game, this thing starts to break down right at the point where it should be getting really, really interesting. And that's kind of, you know, for people who are really into wanting a simulation game, that's unforgivable. So it's a hard one really to gauge how people are going to respond to it, because if you are a casual person who wants to build a city, this game is gorgeous and plays really, really well, and it will give you a lot of interesting feedback. But if you are there with the hard numbers, it's going to let you down, and there's no indication that they are really able to do anything about fixing that in the end. You know, it seems like the way that they're simulating things is inherently broken and not something that they can just patch, like the traffic AI.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for me to just say, you know, check this out. I have enjoyed it. I've certainly enjoyed the opening couple of hours, but then I sort of found initially maybe that the game was too easy, and then I suddenly discovered that it was, you know, almost impossible for me to really control anything once I hit a certain population cap, and that's just because it's unpredictable, because nothing works the way that it was logically intended to.
Do you find that having played it for a week now, you've had enough?
I think that there's still stuff that I could certainly see. There's a lot of variety in the art. The buildings that you see are all very interesting. There's a lot of fun stuff that you can still do there, and there's certainly things that I have not yet unlocked, because it's a rich and deep experience, and I will be going back to play more of it. But at the same time, I am a bit concerned about the fact that I can't really play it properly because the game itself is broken on such a level.
Are you willing to wait? I mean, Candy just said before they introduced some critical patches today. Could they patch it to the point where it becomes, you know, a fluid, enjoyable experience?
I think that they probably could. I mean, this just comes down to them being able to actually get the simulation running properly. And if they can patch the road AI, which is a significant flaw, and if that actually works, that will make it a really... That will definitely improve my own enjoyment of the game. So it may be something where, you know, we do have to wait and see further. If you can get past the always online stuff, which is a major drawback for this game and seems entirely unnecessary, if you're still interested, I would say wait and see, because what they have here, the shell of this game is really enjoyable, and if they can actually fix the way that everything is calculated, then it's going to be, you know, a really good SimCity. But at the moment, hard to give a full recommendation.
All right, that's SimCity, available for the PC. Thank you very much for that review, Lee. Well, we're nearly out of time for this episode of Zed Games, guys, but thank you very much for tuning in. Next week, we have a hell of a show for you guys, BioShock Infinite. We may have the review depending on how quickly that review copy comes through, but we'll definitely be reviewing God of War as well. As well as that, we have an extra special, jam-packed, supersized, double-sized show next week.
2 hours of us!
We'll be running from 6 till 8 p.m.
I'm going to get so sick of you people.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Everybody at home's real pumped, I can tell. Yep.
Two hours. Stockholm Syndrome will set in. You'll love us again by the end.
That's double your gaming hour next week on Zed Games.